What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show. Hour number two, the phone lines are open. Area code 512-248-8252. And we're going to take a phone call from Kevin in West Virginia. Hello, Kevin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mr. Mike. I hope you and Miss Claire are doing well.
We are.
I wanted to make a comment on your you were talking about the moon landing, and I also wanted to make a comment, which you were just talking about with CERN and the Hadron Collider. The moon landing thing. The Navy, not too long ago, declassified a document that they achieved zero-point energy and anti-gravity back in 1959. I was always under the belief that what was televised was fake, but I'm not saying we didn't go to the moon. I'm just wondering if they faked it so most people didn't know that we had that technology at that time, and our enemies, and as the Soviets and everything else. I'm saying we went, but I'm saying they staged, you know, a production scene so people didn't know that we had this type of energy or type of anti-gravity or zero-point energy.
Okay.
The second thing.
Well, it's an interesting theory, and I've heard variations on it for a while. And you need to understand that one of the ways that corporate media and the government are trying to maintain control over the American mind is by trying to destroy the credibility of independent media. And usually, I mean, this includes things like chemtrails and fake Apollo landings and flying saucers and all kinds of really crazy stuff to make us look like we're kooky. In fact, the process has the name kookification. So, I would be very, very cautious about accepting something like that. And, you know, a good way to make it look like it's credible is to say the Navy has declassified this document, and yet they don't provide the actual document.
True. I forget when that document was released after they did the back in December, and I forget what year it was. It was recent after the TikTok video, if you remember all of that. Yeah, that was released. That document was released after all of that had happened. And with CERN and the Large Hadron Collider, a lot of my friends don't even know this, but I actually hold a master's degree in physics. And I'm not saying I know a lot of stuff about CERN, but with CERN and the Large Hadron Collider, a lot of people have to understand there's the public, what you see on the surface, what they're doing, and then there's what they're really doing. If you get on their website, you can, they flatly, clearly say, you know, we are trying to pierce the veil. You know, they're trying to look in between the veil. So they actually are doing some type of stuff with dimensions, peering into other dimensions and things like that, which, you know, under the string theory model, with the mathematics behind that, you know, they're proving that there's other dimensions. And the weird thing with CERN that I don't quite understand, why do they have the goddess Shiva as their main patriarch goddess or god there? It just blows my mind.
I remember when that statue went up there, and a lot of people were saying, you know, what is really going on there? And it caused a tremendous controversy over there. Now, getting on back to other dimensions, if my memory serves me correctly, the current theory is that there are 11 dimensions, but you've got height, width, and depth, which are really just arbitrary labels. I mean, there's no place in the universe where things are lined up at right angles. It's a construct with which to, take something that exists in three space and mathematically describe it. The fourth dimension is often referred to basically as being time itself. And the dimensions 5 through 11 are considered so, they're wrapped around all matter, so small we cannot see them.
No, totally agree, and you're absolutely, absolutely correct with that description. You're spot on with that. It's interesting. It's fascinating. I guess we'll all find out one day what's really going on. I just wanted to put my two cents in with the Apollo thing. I didn't want to sound really, really kooky, but this is a theory that I've been working on, especially after I had seen that Navy document was declassified. it's just really interesting, and I just wanted to throw my two cents in there. Thank you for your time, Mr. Mike.
Okay, well, just to play devil's advocate here, all of the technology used on the Apollo was based on already existing technology. They simply improved it and found better ways to do things, new materials, new rocket fuels. The one major breakthrough that we all benefited from was, of course, the creation of the integrated circuit, which we all use. And, you know, my involvement with Apollo was on Apollo 12, where I helped analyze some of the lunar samples that were returned from the moon. Now, if it was all a fake, why would they go to the bother of hiring me to run proton luminescence studies on dirt, you know, and then write up a report on it? I was never seen on TV. Nobody reported on me. I was completely invisible as far as the public was concerned. So just want to get my two cents in on that. Okay, let's go to Mark in North Carolina. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine.
We're talking again about, you know, all the attention they're creating with Russia, even
yes.
about them doing all the hacking. I don't believe that for a second. I think the hacking is being done all over the world. A lot of them, but not even by government officials, probably.
I think a lot of the hacking is done here in the United States of America, or we'd see the United States government take a much stronger stand against it.
And I think there's people even, like in it, the old saying about in your father's basement, I think there's a lot of that going on, too. I mean, it doesn't seem all that difficult to hack into something. You know, these things are not as safe as they make them out to be. And it's why I do less and less. I do almost no financial transactions on the Internet. You know what I mean? I certainly don't bank on the Internet. To me, that's absolutely crazy. And I don't put my financial information on my phone. I can go pay. Matter of fact, lately, mostly whatever I buy with cash now. Because I don't want to be tracked, traced.
I'm exactly the same way. Okay. I have no banking information on my cell phone or my tablet, and very limited on my desktop computer. I still do things with that old-fashioned wood pulp stuff.
Yeah, but as far as Russia goes, you know, I would say they're not that crazy. They're not going to push Russia. But you know what? These people, like I said, so many people are right now within our government are in some kind of psych meds and other medications that are affecting their thinking process, starting with the demented imposter sitting in the White House right now, that anything is possible. And then it's that whacked out woman that he's got as his vice president. You know, what I call Hillary with a little bit more pigmentation, you know? And so what would happen if they started a war? See, this is where I disagree with you. It would cause, you know, tremendous casualties. It would cause casualties. But this would, we would get our butts kicked almost immediately. Let's say the war started in Ukraine. Okay, we'd have no chance. We're virtually, when I say we, I mean the whole NATO, they'd be demolished. Russia is preparing for that. They've prepared for something like that since World War II. All right, they're not going to let another Operation Barbarossa happen on your borders. So they're ready.
No, they won't.
They would try. But the problem is, at that point, what would these madmen do? Would they decide to just lick their chops? It would be terrible. Or would they go to nuclear war? That's the question you got to ask. Would they be willing to risk them the fate of the entire planet? I don't think Putin would be the first one to fire off nukes. I think it would be the madmen that govern the United States and much of Western Europe that are more likely to start it. Start turning to nukes. And then, of course, that's just for the planet. I mean, it's not that we'd be fighting. I don't think the planet could survive something like that. I really don't. I think it would pretty much be over at that point.
Well, if all of the world's nuclear weapons were detonated, yes, it would, you know, all that would be left would be the cockroaches. But, you know, a billion years and they might prove to be a very viable, intelligent civilization. Mark, before I let you go, I want to ask you a technical question. What exactly are you using to make the phone call into the show with? Is it like a headset or a speakerphone or what's the deal?
I use speakerphone. I never put my phone by my ear.
Okay, because I was getting an echo of my voice coming back from your end, and of course we do have a delay in the system, and that explains the mystery that we were dealing with. So thank you for the phone call here, and the phone lines are open now, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Steve in Manhattan. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. You should have been supporting Trump. Trump is a total Zionist. Hello?
I'm sorry?
Yes, Trump is basically a time traveler.
Now what? A time traveler? That's a little bit out there.
They made jokes about it. It was Funny or Die made a joke about it. About they put the actor, what's his name, Christopher Lloyd, played a role of Doc Brown.
Yeah.
In Funny or Die, Tommy skit, in which future Trump helped him pass Trump become a billionaire. And then it was also a Jimmy Kimmel show. Made a joke about Trump being a time traveler. So I'm saying it's factual because I'm inside information in Silicon Valley that time travel is real and they're actively changing the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was, Trump actually was invented by the Chabad organization called Chabad, made Donald Trump a real estate billionaire and a president of the United States.
Okay, well, Steve, thanks an awful lot. It's an interesting theory and certainly, good material for a comedy show here. And we're going to let you go. Our phone lines now are totally open, area code 512-248-8252. And I'm going to hunt down some more stories to fill in the time until we get some more callers here. There's been a lot of talk lately about Russia's so-called black hole submarine. It is their most quiet submarine yet. It's kind of like a, it's like a real live version of Red October. It's very, very hard to detect. And the author of the article I'm looking at is saying that it may be the reason why we have seen the U.S. subhunters, P-3s and P-8s, been very, very busy lately, because this submarine could easily sneak up on either coast of the United States and launch very, very fast nuclear attack, 5 minutes from launch to impact, for example. And so that would be a very, very scary situation. Russia learned the importance of silence and quieting their submarines. So did China, for that matter, from the U.S. SOSUS nets, which have since been decommissioned, as far as we know, and turned over to the whale watching people. Right now, the anti-subs forces are mostly focused on air assets and what are called the SIRTAS boats, which are these modified tuna boats towing these huge, huge sonar arrays. Okay, we have another caller on the line, and this is, Malon in Indiana. Hello, welcome to the show. Yes. What's on your mind?
Well, I have been pestered enormously by Tom in Indiana to give you a call. And he says you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I have not ever talked to a radio talk show host before that did proton luminescence. So I feel very, very honored. Most people, you don't know anything about them like that. But Tom and I were involved. I was very much involved in trying to prevent the 1994 Gun Control Act, which banned the quote assault weapons. And I want you to know that you can shake hands with a senator, and he'll tell you that he's not going to do anything like that, and then proceed to go and vote for the Gun Control Act, and then if you get to see him at a political party rally, like I did in Indianapolis, and I just shook his hand and held on to it, and I said, oh, what a beautiful, I said, you lie so well, and I got to tell him all the things. You stood there and told me you'd never vote for the Gun Control Act, and then you did, and look at you now. You're still our senator. How'd that happen? That must be a mistake. The thing that people need to understand about gun control is it's actually about the deprivation of self-defense.
Yes.
It's the first major step of any tyrannical government to make that will lead to the abject defeat of them. that you can use the Indians in our own nation. You know, they were told to disarm. You could have this place to live. I believe that there was the same skit that was performed on the Jews in Germany. You know, just register your guns. You know, we want safety and we want security. Oh, yeah, it's really tough here in the city with you, all these people bothering you. We've got a place in the country where you'd be safe. There's actually, Mike, there's actually a book out there that's called How Do You Kill 11 Million People?
Yes.
I read that book. It was about Nazi Germany. I've always been fascinated by history and really taken in by it. How could one of the most educated, religious peoples, such as Germany had, be led so astray by pure evil?
Well, because Hitler did not look evil to them at the time. He made sense. You know, he was initially voted into office. And as you say, politicians are very good at lying, and that's what Hitler did. And most German people really were unaware of what was being done behind their government's back because they didn't have anything like the internet back then. And of course, our internet today is under attack to silence us, which I think is signaling that our government is getting ready to do something really nasty.
Well, I hope people will keep in mind that, you know, you're actually giving up your ability to defend yourself and to live.
Yes.
You're literally making a sacrifice that will affect your children, your grandchildren, and Western civilization as we know it. I want people to understand that what's happening now is different races, in particular now the white race, is being described in the same terms as Jews were in Nazi Germany. We are now the new Übermensch.
Yes.
And you probably know that term.
Yes.
The subhumans. And they're literally writers that are out there writing and appealing for us to be eliminated as a virus. I'm sorry?
It's Untermensch, subhuman.
Untermensch.
Übermensch is the Superman.
Well, that was the other term, and I confused the two.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've used the German that I don't know.
I haven't used German on a regular basis since, long ago.
Yes. But the thing is that we are being turned into these Untermensch, as you said. And we must be careful about this. You know, it's too late to tell everybody to go out and buy $6 boxes of 9mm. That doesn't exist.
No, it's a dollar a pop now.
Yeah, we need to work together and join together. And Tom is responsible for me calling in to you. He's been after me for over a year now. You got to call. And what I do want to point out, though, is that Tom may actually be the original time traveler. You're going to have to tease him if he ever calls in again. He had a DeLorean that he kept in the garage. Yes. And from time to time, it would be missing. And I'm wondering if Tom wasn't the actual original Back to the Future character.
Well, if Tom calls in, we'll just have to ask him here. Getting back to more serious situations, though, if you look at the history of the great genocides of the 19th and 20th centuries, you will find that every single one of them was preceded by a gun ban on the targeted population.
Yes. Yes. The Armenians.
Yes.
In Turkey, everywhere, whether in China, I mean, everywhere they have chose to remove people and whole distinct sections of society. They always get rid of the guns first. So I'm not telling everybody to arm up for the next war, but it sure would be handy if you had something. Please consider, find out who your neighbors are, try and understand what they're thinking, where they believe, what's going on, that sort of thing, because unfortunately there'll be an enormous amount of pressure to rat you out. One of the features of Nazi Germany was that neighbors of the Jews were allowed to keep some of the Jews' possessions by ratting them out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, enough history. It's great listening to you. And as I said, I don't know what your whole background is, but neat show. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And please call in again. We got to take a break for commercials. We have more callers waiting on the line, and we'll be right back.
please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail, when the banksters all need to be in jail.
And welcome back to our show here. And again, a friendly reminder that Republic Broadcasting Network needs your continued support to go on doing what we're doing. And the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity, cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. And if you mail in a donation for $100 or more, include your t-shirt size and a return address, and you will get an official RBN t-shirt and the bragging rights that go along with it. And don't forget the Frontside Firearms Program promotion is still ongoing as well. Okay, we're going to go back to the phone lines now to Rodney in Illinois. Hello, Rodney. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. I have a screenshot in my mind.
Okay.
From a Star Trek movie.
And okay.
It is, let me briefly describe it. Captain Kirk finally gets to the center of this intelligence, and and he finds the Voyager spacecraft.
Yes.
Now, I have a visual of that. I've only seen the movie one time, who knows how many years ago. But were there actually depicted visually on the side of that craft anatomically correct man and woman?
No, that was Pioneer that had the anatomically correct man and woman, and Paramount certainly would not have allowed that on the movie. What was on the Voyagers was a phonograph record, and it included the little cartridge with which to play it, and what was engraved on the cover for the record were symbolic instructions on how to play the record and decode. One side was audio, and the other side were still frame photographs of life on Earth. And it was basically a message to anybody who'd find the spacecraft. But after all these years, it's only just now left our solar system. The two of them have just now left the solar system. They're past the heliopause. But interestingly enough, a couple of months after the Voyagers were launched, somebody got on the NASA teletype and said, you know, message received, send more Chuck Berry.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, yes. I've heard you say many times, if you can force your opponent to behave in an absurd or foolish manner, I think you probably put it a different way. But you know, mankind has, you know, if we could say that, has sent out to all, you know, in the universe who we are. So
yes.
With this cancel culture, you know, shouldn't they appropriate, you know, since they're in control of NASA now, shouldn't they send chaser vehicles after all this information and correct it?
There's no getting it all back. It's all out there in the radio waves. And it was kind of interesting. We were talking about the movie Contact before, where the radio relay station near Vega played back the Hitler broadcast from the German Olympics. Not because they admired Hitler, but because that was the first powerful TV signal to leave our planet and head out on into space. But, you know, we're trying to hear transmissions from other planets. It's very, very difficult to do. I personally think we'd probably have more success listening for the emanations from their AC power distribution systems, because then you're talking a lot more energy than radio and TV broadcasting stations. Unfortunately, the radiative power of a radio signal is directly proportional to its frequency. And since we're talking about 50, 60, 100, 400 hertz, it's going to take a very, very sensitive receiver to find it.
All right. Well, I got another one.
Yeah.
Totally different. It has to do with your appreciation of astronomy.
Yes,
and I'm not even a novice, but I came across this illustration to put in practical perspective distance, and it has
yes.
to do with one AU approximates 1 inch, and one light year approximates 1 mile.
Yes.
So the nearest star being Proxima Centauri, if you would look down at your toes and put your two big toes two apart, Proxima Centauri would be 4.2 miles away.
Yeah, about that.
So, my question is, Mike, is the margin of error? And you know, we're talking about the nearest star.
Yes.
And we're still talking about light years, and we've got time involved, and we've got curvature. I'm really wondering how, you know, who do I go to actually confirm that astronomical observations and distances are accurate?
Well, it's kind of a complicated issue. Now, for objects that are near to the solar system, they use what is called parallax, which means they'll measure very accurate, very carefully the angle of an object like Proxima Centauri when Earth is on one side of the sun, and then 6 months later, they'll take another measurement, and the difference in angles basically gives the baseline for a trigonometric calculation of the distance. For objects further away than that, there are what are called the Cepheid variables, which have an absolute relationship between the luminance and how often they pulsate. Oh, all right, it's going to be a quiz next year. You know, stay on the line. I'm going to come right back. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking with Rodney in Illinois, and I'm sort of wallowing in my science background here. We're talking about how it is determined the distance to various objects as seen from planet Earth. And for close objects like Proxima Centauri, it's done like a surveyor would do it, with two sightings across a baseline. And in this case, the baseline is the diameter of Earth's orbit.
Well, hence, Mike, can you repeat in your own words kind of that rule of thumb that I started off with? Because, you know, that's a visual, you know, people can understand 2 inches and they can understand 4.2 miles. So you bring up, you know, I'm a carpenter, so I got to square buildings, you know, get things straight and lined up. And I've got lasers and I got levels, but I never looked at something 4.2 miles away and look for a deviation of 2 inches. I mean, that's just boggles my mind.
Well, it is, but that's what the instrumentation is designed to do. But, of course, it doesn't work for objects that are really far away, which is why I was talking about the Cepheid variables, which is a type of star whose brightness is directly linked to the periodicity of how it varies. And we can look out into the universe and see these Cepheid variables, and we can see how long it takes them to go from bright to dim, work backward to get their absolute brightness, and then take their apparent brightness here on Earth, and that gives us a good indicator of their distance. Now, beyond that, of course, there is the red shift, which is becoming a little problematic. Now, this is something that Edwin Hubble noticed. Objects that were further away in the universe appeared to have a more redshifted spectrum. Now, he himself did not say that meant the objects were receding or that the universe was expanding. That came from an astronomer who was also a Catholic bishop called Georges Lemaître. And he's the one who came up with the idea of the universe is expanding, and if you run it backwards in time, then there had to be a supreme moment of creation. But there are other things that cause a redshift over long distances, like Raleigh scattering, and it's one of the reasons why I don't think the Big Bang Theory is really going to survive much longer.
Well, if your next caller wants to continue with your indulgence, which I thoroughly enjoy, I want to leave you with a trivia question.
Okay.
There's a short story, and the villain of the story has the name of Sylvester McMonkey McBean. Do you know the title of that short story?
No, I do not.
Its author is Dr. Seuss.
Oh, well, I didn't read all of his books when I was... We've got to bring Dr. Seuss back. I mean, you know, we can have...
I know.
What's
it's
her name on... Go ahead.
The,
I'm sorry.
The title is Starbelly Sneetches, and I might, you know, I've read it a couple of times, but I can't remember when I found it. You know, I saw it as a cartoon as a kid, of course.
Yes.
But I remembered this, and it just reminded me, oh, I was going to say, I could rename this The Price of Diversity. The Price of Diversity. Read that poem.
Okay.
With that title. And I'll let you enjoy that. But anyhow, it's a very predictive programming, and you'll understand why I give it that title, The Price of, what did I say? Diversity.
Diversity.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot.
Diversity.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. We're going to switch over to Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good day to you, Mike. And to that one caller, I'm not Tom with the DeLorean. I do own a couple Starfires, old Starfires, so I'm still trying to figure out how to make a flux capacitor. And, so that's what I'm working on. And to your last caller, you can't even mention a word Dr. Seuss without being called a racist. So, you know, you got to be careful when they mention that name Seuss. So anyway, Mike, here, I'm going to get to Mars in a minute. But before I get to Mars, I do want to mention this. I saw in the news today that a bunch of Chinese are sneaking through that border along with these ill Central Americans. So how all these Chinese get in Central America and they're dumping over here in the United States, probably running up to San Francisco or Austin, Texas, or one of those licky-titty-touchy liberal areas of the United States. This is all by design to wipe us out, Mike. So that's just the way I got to say about that. Now, I want to go back to Mars, and then
yes.
I'm going to go to I want to talk about New Schwabenland, the Nazis. You brought the Nazis up.
Yes.
Supposedly there was a bell, Mike. And there
yes.
was another bell that crashed in Pennsylvania, I believe it was in 1956, was it? I believe
yes.
a bell crashed. And it supposedly had, like, swastikas on it or something, and they never talk about that. And however, you know, the History Channel, Mike, all day today, you know what they've been doing all day today on their advertisement, Mike? And before I go to Mars, I'll tell you what they're doing.
Please do.
All day long, the History Channel's been running ads about how Asians are being discriminated, so they're going to be the new blacks.
Yes.
And white people are out to get them. Why, okay, if that's the case, Mike, why are all these people coming here, whitey, so bad? Why are these Mexicans, Central Americans, Chinese, why are they coming here, Mike? Why? What the hell is the reason for them to come here if white man is so bad? We're still the majority. We need to keep our majority.
Look, we all know this is USDA choice bovine excrement. And to sort of back up a little bit on you, those bell-shaped objects that you're talking about were actually film canisters from some of the CIA's earlier keyhole spy satellites. It wasn't even called keyhole back then, before they could have the real-time video feed from space. They would launch these giant cameras that would have six film canisters on them, and they would shoot the film in the canister and then drop the canister down, recover it, develop the film, and this is how they were spying on Russia before they reached the age of video cameras in orbit.
Yeah. Okay, now, Mike, did the Nazis not work on a bell system where they were trying to go interdimensional? Weren't the Nazis working on that? Because I saw it on Ancient Aliens, where they actually had a bell.
I'd be very careful about what you see on Ancient Aliens. I'm sorry. It's an entertaining show.
I got a point. I got your point. But listen, now I want to talk about this, Mike. I want to talk about Mars. There is a place on Mars called Sedona, right?
Yes.
Why haven't they landed something like 100 feet from there, 100 yards from there, to take a picture of what this thing is? Supposedly it's a face. I guess it's Sedona. Is that what it's the face of Sedona, Mike? What's the name of that place?
Sedona. Sedona is a town in Arizona. The area you're talking
right.
about on Mars is called Sedonia. And they've already imaged that mountain with much higher resolution from orbit. And, you know, it kind of looks like a face, like the old man in the mountain in New Hampshire used to before it fell apart. And, you know, the human brain is wired to see faces because that's how we recognize each other. And sometimes we'll see faces where none actually exists, and it's just part of human nature. But that that peak on Mars, it's been imaged at very high resolution, and I'm sorry to say it's not a giant sculpture of a face.
Okay, but Mike, you know, I got to lean on this information. I went to Cape Canaveral, not far from me, or actually, it's up the road, a couple hundred miles. I went to Cape Canaveral and 10 years ago, and they had this guy who's narrating. He was talking about there's a giant trench on Mars, a big, on all the planets, has a, it's like 100 times bigger than the Grand Canyon.
And the Valley Marineris.
Yeah, exactly. And they were saying they already have a technology to put air on, that can make clouds on Mars. It would take probably 30 to 40 years to bring these machines that they're working on to drop them in that canyon, which is like three times deeper than the Grand Canyon, drop them in there. And once they can get clouds over that canyon, the canyon would actually flood water. It would flood into water, the clouds, and you actually make a river basin right there again, which stretches from, I guess, New York to California, from New York City to Los Angeles. And once they could flood that down, you would actually be able to tame that planet where you would have green algae, and you would actually be able to survive on that planet within 30 years after doing this process.
Well, actually, now they're beginning to realize there's a lot more water on Mars than was previously thought. I mean, there was a lot of, planetary bias going on out. Originally, everyone knew there was no water on the moon. That was proven to be wrong. And then they said, well, if there's any water on Mars, it's only a little tiny bit. And even photos from the Spirit rover showing puddles of brackish water on the surface of Mars didn't convince them. But now they're realizing there actually is a lot of water. It's just, you know, under the surface of all this red dust. And amazingly enough, it turns out that red dust is only a few inches thick. And underneath that, it goes back to a more normal planetary regolith.
Right, exactly. But, you know, Mike, getting back to now what our situation with is space is,
yes.
The Americans would team up with the Russians. I don't know so much about the Chinese because they'll be trying to be dominant like they are right now. But if the Russians, who are Caucasians, and the Americans would actually work together, they probably could have a living civilization on the planet Mars, I believe, within 80 years.
Yeah,
however,
they probably could.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
They
probably nuke each other.
Could. I mean, do you remember John F. Kennedy? John F. Kennedy wanted to end the race to the moon, and he wanted to go to the moon in partnership with the Soviet Union, and that was one of the reasons that so many people hated him.
Exactly. And you know, Mike, another thing is people don't realize it, but the space program in Russia and the space program was here, made in here. We're by Nazis, whether you want to admit it or not. We are. Our space program, Cape Canaveral, Russia, they didn't. There wasn't Russian brains that made those rockets. It wasn't American brains. I mean, there was, of course, they helped, but it was Nazis. Who's kidding who here? So all we hear is Nazis.
Yeah,
the Nazis gave us the space programs.
My turn. When Germany was losing the war, the rocket team at Peenemünde, some of the scientists said, we want to go to the Americans, and the others said, we want to go to the Russians, and Wernher von Braun went to the American side. And so, they split up kind of evenly, and Russia's space program for a long time was run by a guy named Sergei Korolev, and he was, like, kept secret, not just from the West, but even from the Russian people, until he was blown up witnessing a rocket launch, and then he was made a national hero, and they gave him a very nice funeral and a tomb.
Yeah, exactly, Mike. And one more thing, I'll let you go. Another got a caller. Mike, by the way, in World War II, and I didn't realize this, George Patton's family was they were in the Confederate Army. I don't know if you knew that. His uncles and all that, they fought for the Confederacy. But also, I didn't know this. The three main battle groups of white Anglo men who went to fight Germany were Germans, Italians, and British. That were American extract. I mean, they were American citizens, of course, Americans. But their bloodline came out of Germany, Italy, and England. And you had French, too. But mainly they were the first group was German, English, and Italian. And you had, of course, you had American Polish and Swedish. and you had French. But you know what? All these guys that went back to fighting against Hitler, they were European, Northern European men.
For the most
Let's not
part,
kid ourselves.
Yes.
90% of them. So even all the wars. So you know, like the story of Patton. I believe even MacArthur's family was from Bavaria. They were Bavaria. Remember, in Germany,
not
in England.
With a name like MacArthur.
No, I'm talking about his grandmother. Because remember, they're different. Well, they're Northern Europeans, Mike. But you know, people don't even realize when I studied even in England, the kings of England, the first king that sat on the throne of England, the first, I believe, it was five of them or eight of them. They were German American. They were German men. Not German. They were German. They spoke German in the English throne. King Henry VIII and his family bloodline was Bavarian.
Well, they, you know, in order to build peace between nations, you know, there was a lot of intermarriage between these royal families. Very often countries were being ruled by rulers who didn't speak the native language.
That's correct. So, you know, I find a lot of this stuff fascinating, Mike, and I'll let you go. But the most fascinating thing I find out is all these people talk bad about America, how bad white he is. They all want to come here.
Yeah.
A white man is so bad.
It doesn't
why
really
is
make
bumbling
sense.
Biden
it
want to
really
bring him
doesn't.
Here. And Biden, the president of the United States, bumbling buffoon Biden, thinks white men are so bad and so evil. Why is he bringing all these different cultures here? Why? I tell you why, Mike. He wants vote. That's why
that's exactly the flux capacitor. They're going to load up all the red states with all these illegal immigrants, and this HR1 is going to make it possible for them to vote because nobody's going to check the ID. And they're literally legalizing the way that they stole the last November's election. Anyway, Tom, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to switch over to Miles in Maine. Hello, Miles. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. Boy, it was great to hear Tom and that information he shares. I sure hope he's feeling better. I hate to lose any more Rivero Rangers. Michael, I thought that was a very good definition you gave about dimensions in that. And I think that was really valuable. I'd like to hear the fellow from Indiana, Tom's friend, and Rodney. I wish those guys would call more. And I would like to hear you do a show like on this kind of stuff, maybe once a week on a Wednesday to break it up, because we all understand what we're facing with Biden and this administration, and 4 days a week would be good. But I think 1 day a week of this type of topic would be great.
Okay. I mean, you know, I love science, I came from a science background originally before I got into the movie business.
Yeah, maybe you could consider that. And then I wanted to share with the caller that was from Indiana. You know, he was talking about how Germany was discriminating, except now it's on the white male. I would say, in my estimation of things, it more reminds me of the way the white is being discriminated against over the past two decades in South Africa, is what it's reminding me of.
Oh, yeah. I've been pointing that out for some time now.
Yeah, and the progression of it, the way and the manner in which it's progressing. Also, you know, I've heard you mention several times about the waterways and the plastic and the seas and everything like that.
Yes.
And, you know, we have all these worldwide initiatives, but the sea feeds so many people. Why don't we have an initiative to take care of that plastic? Now, I've heard you mention a few times that it may be about the size of Texas.
Well, there's a, because of the North Pacific Gyre Current, a lot of the plastic that's been dumped into the ocean has sort of been pulled into this one area in the North Pacific. Now, if you went out and looked at it in a boat, it would still look like, you know, plastic here, plastic there. It's not a big solid clump. You can't build an island on it. But there is an organization whose name escapes me at the moment that is basically going on out with boats that are basically set up to scoop the surface and recover the plastic and bring it back for proper disposal, because it is proving to be a hazard to ocean life, including those species we rely on as a food source.
Yeah, well, I'd be all for us going out there and whatever we got to do. If we got to use the military, if we got to use aircraft carriers, but to get down there, whatever way we have to take it apart, dismantle it, deconstruct it, cut through it, and haul it in by any means, trawler, aircraft.
Trawlers would be ideal. Trawlers would be ideal. Somebody just has to spend the money to do it. And it would be nice if Bill Gates, who's always talking about taking care of the planet, instead of spending so much money on vaccines and the rest of it, would say, yeah, let's clean up the mess that we've already made.
Well, if Pelosi and the Democrats are so concerned about the environment, why aren't they pitching in with an idea like this?
I don't know. That's a good question. Okay,
well,
we've got to take
much,
a break,
Michael,
for commercials here. All right, Miles, thanks a lot. We're going to come back for our last segment. We've got callers waiting on the line. I'm going to try and get to all of them, and we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
The money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did.
Welcome back to our show, last segment of the program today, and we're going to go to James in Vancouver. Hello, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, you mentioned the Hadron Collider.
one thing I hear people say, and I find this very annoying, is that when they get this thing up to a certain energy, they're going to open the gates to some other dimension. And I really find that ridiculous. It's very annoying.
People who think that CERN is going to accidentally create a quantum black hole, which will then slowly eat the entire planet.
Well, yeah, and the fact the problem there is that the second law of thermodynamics isn't going to let that happen. But
no.
Also, I just wanted to bang on these flat Earth people here a bit. If the Earth were flat, we'd all have sunrise at the same time, wouldn't we?
Well, the new variation is that the Earth is more like a flattened torus. And I saw this in the National Geographic. And again, this is the stuff that's being poured onto the net to make us look like we're all a bunch of nutcases that no decent, serious, loyal American would ever want to look at. But again, any high school student with a Foucault pendulum can prove that the Earth is, in fact, moving using the same logic that Columbus did, looking at ships on the horizon. Yeah, the Earth is round. Plus, we have all those photos from spacecraft.
Yeah, okay, well, I think you're tight for callers, so I'll call you back next time then.
All right, well, thanks an awful lot, and we're going to go to Don in Arizona. Hello, Don, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, one thing about Tom's, his pet peeve, he talks about the white guys in America that won the war, but actually the Russians won the war. They killed more Germans,
and they
suffered a whole lot more casualties than the Americans did. Not to minimize the Americans' contribution to the war effort there. And Tom on his talks about the TV commercials where they have interracial couples. Well,
yes.
I hate to tell him, but all the commercials are stupid. All the advertisements on TV are stupid, and all the shows are stupid. And
they are.
The solution to his problem is to quit, is just to get off the cable like I did about 20 years ago. Then he wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. Okay, Mike, that's
Well, you know, early in my career, I worked in advertising, and we came up with some really creative stuff at that time. In fact, for a short while, I was doing commercials when we lived in Hawaii, and, you know, we were known for coming up with really clever, funny, creative stuff. But the whole purpose of a commercial is to get you to buy a product. You will buy this product.
There used to be some good commercials. The Maytag, the Lonely Maytag repairman. People would watch the commercials. They'd watch TV just because they enjoyed the commercials.
The commercials we did at Robert Abel.
The driver's seat.
Yeah,
remember that one? O.J. Simpson was shown flying into the driver's seat there.
Yeah, I remember that one as well. Some of the commercials we made at Robert Abel and Associates were so popular, people were calling the TV stations to say, when is that going to air again? Anyway, Don, I got to let you go here. We're at the end of the show. My apologies to those people who did not get on the air yet. Please call in tomorrow. And stay tuned for John Steadmiller. I think Steve Elkins is sharing the mic with him tonight. And spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate. As you can tell, we're buying new equipment. And we'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.